Warning, the following podcast contains mature language and content.
You're listening to Dude, Wait, What Podcast. Snake. Snake!
Welcome to the Dude Wait What Podcast, an hour of news, opinions, and just plain old talk about video games and the gaming community. You can find our website at dudewaitwhatpodcast.blogspot.com, and you can contact us by leaving us a message on the Nerdsphere forums. Those are at autobotcity.myfastforum.org. All right, hi everybody. This week we have with us myself, Toya, as well as Bob.
Hello again.
We've got Sean.
Yo!
We've got Jamie.
Yo.
And sitting in with us this week, we have Sammy.
Hi, folks.
So, this week, kind of a madcap week. A lot of stuff going on. I want to bring up my first topic. We'll close out when we're done ready. We'll close out with what we've been playing this week. But this week, kind of a big deal in the world of video gaming. The Evo Fighting Game Tournament is this weekend, and today is actually the finals. We will be seeing... who wins today? Actually, it's going on right now, and I really do want to be watching it, but I'm stuck here with you losers.
Hey!
What?
To be fair, only Sean is a loser.
Yeah.
Hey! Much.
So, some of the notable things that have happened over the course of the tournament. First of all, attendees at the tournament are getting to play Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Fuckers.
Yeah. And there will be a special exhibition tournament of Marvel vs. Capcom 3 tonight, just prior to the Super Street Fighter 4 tournament finals. The big news out of yesterday though, Justin Wong was defeated by a fairly up-and-coming newcomer, GamerBee, in the final round of the loser's bracket, and it was a nail-biting finish, and Justin Wong, playing as Rufus, one of his best characters, suddenly beaten by a newcomer playing as Adon. Everybody want to know, what the hell was up with that?
He was just better.
It's just not the kind of thing you'd expect. I mean, there is definitely some new blood this year at Evo. Being played this year at Evo, there is Super Street Fighter 4, Tekken 6, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, Melty Blood, which is a big shock to a lot of us, but it basically has replaced Guilty Gear right now. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is having a reduced tournament this year, gearing up because Marvel vs. Capcom 3 will most likely be replacing it next year, should the game prove to be well-balanced enough to be tournament-worthy. Which, I mean, it's Capcom, it should be, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, Sammy, it's a good thing you're here. I want to talk to you about the possibility, as we're talking about fighting game tournaments. We've been seeing some nice revamps out of the Mortal Kombat series. They're putting in a super meter. They're putting in some nice mix-up gamage in it. Do you think that we might actually see the next Mortal Kombat game at an Evo tournament? Is this possible?
Possibly. I don't know. Depending on the success of how it goes, it might be at the tournament. We don't know at this point.
I'm hoping so. From what I've been seeing, they've been putting in. They are looking at the games that are tournament worthy, and they're trying to emulate them, which is kind of different. Mortal Kombat has a lot of times tried to really be its own thing, and a lot of times that has not... It's helped them in some ways, but it's hurt them in a lot of ways as well. You know, they've always managed to be kind of the other fighting game, you know?
It's done its job so far.
Yeah, fair enough. But, I mean, there has been very much a lack of a competitive element to it. So I'm hoping that if this new studio can bring that competitive spirit to it and leave out stuff like, you know, Mortal Kombat kart racers that a lot of the last few games have relied on, we might have something here.
The kart racing idea sounds a bit dry. So
they've done that. They did that. They did a Puzzle Fighter ripoff. They've really just...
Oh, God, the Puzzle Fighter. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Best to remember something like that, because those sorts of things don't work in a fighting game, especially in Mortal Kombat.
They work as standalone games. I mean, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo is a very good game. But you wouldn't throw it in as an extra on a Street Fighter game. You know, you wouldn't really do that.
It just wouldn't work.
No. Secondly, up for me, we want to just kind of put a thing out there. Apparently, Crunchyroll.com, the anime website, who does anime licensing for the U.S., is trying to strike up a partnership with Xbox 360 to bring anime streaming to Xbox 360. This is, I think, pretty much a good move on Microsoft's part, because they know their audience, but this is really strictly for the U.S. market. I don't see this flying in the Japanese market, because Crunchyroll doesn't really have distribution rights in Japan, and none of the animation houses I know in Japan will want to touch the Xbox right now, because right now the Xbox is not the greatest console in Japan. Right now it's the Wii, then the PS3, then the Xbox. I think it's a smart move for Microsoft in the U.S. Anybody else? Because, I mean, they've already got Netflix. Do they need Crunchyroll at this point?
No.
Oh, nah.
Nope.
Microsoft won't bother.
Mm.
There you go. Topic over. Move on.
Wow.
We all agree. Microsoft will gain nothing from it.
Mm-hmm.
Purely to help Crunchyroll. Microsoft won't bother putting it on the 360 if it's just going to help them.
Go ahead.
It's not big enough for him.
Well, the other thing is that basically anime today, let's be honest, there's a lot of piracy in the world of anime, particularly when it comes to fan subbers, because the fan subs honestly get published a lot faster than, you know, having to wait for an American company to redub or subtitle or otherwise release it in the US. And anime has kind of self-defeated itself out of circulation that way. And I wonder if people are going to want to pay for their Xbox subscription fee and maybe pay for a Crunchyroll subscription in order to watch their anime, or maybe they'll just, you know, go and download it elsewhere. That's all I'm saying.
We do not endorse piracy. We do not endorse piracy.
It's Microsoft has to spend a lot of money to get something like that put onto their system. They will not make enough from it for it to be worthwhile for them.
Mm.
I can't see it being worthwhile for them at all.
Okay.
People into anime, mm-hmm, normally 99.999% of the time are big into the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They know when stuff's being released. They can get it either stream for free from the website that already is on the internet.
Right.
Or Jamie's battery cable cannot be in properly. So yeah, they're more likely to just go to the website anyway. Microsoft don't see the point.
I hear you on that.
Exclusive to the 360.
No.
It'll be exclusive to the 360 and their website.
Yeah, obviously.
Microsoft won't want that. I wouldn't want that. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. It's shit.
All right. Yeah, so we're kind of agreed that there is sort of a crossing over of fan bases here, and that you know, anime fans are not really the people who are likely to spend money behind this. Okay, moving on. What else has been big in the news this week? Oh, this was kind of the big thing for the week. Blizzard wanted to stop trolling and stop otherwise misuse of anonymity in their forums, and decided to go with a thing called Real ID, in which your forum name would now be your real name and your real world information. And the people said...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Fuck off!
That's what the people said. The people said they did not want this system. The people said change it back, and within about 3 days' time, Blizzard changed it back.
Hmm.
So, gentlemen, what are our thoughts on this? Personally, and let me just say, I have nothing to hide, but then again, you know, if anybody wants to try trolling me by sending me something to my home address, they can try, because shipping out here is kind of a pain.
And it would cost them a fortune.
Yeah, so who's laughing now?
But... on a more accurate note, it's more about privacy.
It is.
I don't want any kind of creepy son of a bitch knowing who's going on. And besides, you say it puts their real world name on. It doesn't. Not to be in the forum. Why does it have to be their real world name? They could put any name in.
This is true. Well, actually, no. I think it's whatever name you sign up for the billing information. So it's whatever name's on your credit card.
Oh, yeah, but whatever name's on the credit card. Have you not heard stories about how people have got credit cards in their dog's name?
This is true. Actually, my ex-girlfriend had that what happened once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not an impossibility. For you can still keep... One person has that kind of power over everyone else. It's a dangerous place to be.
Hmm.
It's never a good idea.
Yeah.
Never a good idea. Best thing is, Blizzard has the details. Something bad happens, Blizzard can give the details out. That's how it should be.
Yeah. But yep. There's a plus and a minus to this. On the plus side, Blizzard has greater control over what goes on in their forums, and they can more accurately police stuff. On the minus side, you've got creeps from 4chan who know what your information is.
basically.
Yeah.
But there is no positives because Blizzard already know that information.
Right. But the whole thing here was, it wasn't a matter of how Blizzard was using the information. The matter is it private or public to the other users?
The thing is, Blizzard already has this information. That's why they could do this system. The problem is that the idea was that everyone would be able to look on there and go, well, I don't want to start trolling because then people are going to find out who I am.
Right.
That was their security policy. People find out who I am, so I'm not going to say anything. It's a nonsense.
It's ruled by fear, essentially.
Essentially, yeah. And it's a nonsense. It doesn't work. Like I said, there's ways around it. There'll always be ways around it. And worst comes to worst, people just stop using the forum if they want to troll.
You know what it sounds like to me, though? It kind of sounds like, you remember when YouTube did that thing where you'd press a button and it would read back your comment to you? Do you remember this?
No.
Somebody online had made a joke about, you know, there should be a button on YouTube that reads your comment back to you so people would hear how stupid their comment sounds and never ever post stupidly again. And YouTube did it for about a week as a joke, and it didn't really stop anyone. People just started typing lameness for the sake of hearing the computer say it in a lame way.
Sounds right.
So I'm afraid that's probably what would have happened to Blizzard had this continued. You would have had people trolling for the sake of trolling because they had these people's real information.
Yeah. If anything, it makes trolls more dangerous.
Yeah. So, bad move, Blizzard. I mean, honestly, their hearts, I guess, were in the right place. But
I have no doubt. Yeah. Blizzard have always been one for the fans.
Yeah.
Which is why World of Warcraft has survived as long as it has. It's not because it's particularly... Technically, it's never been the best MMO.
Right.
It's been the best MMO because it has worked best for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
When the fans have wanted something changed, slightly tweaked, they've looked at it, they've accepted what they said, and then they've acted upon it where necessary.
Right.
And that's why they stay around.
Well, they've fostered a community. They've fostered a community, yeah.
And it's always been... It started with Diablo 2, really, didn't it? The community really started there. And they do it by listening to the fans, and I think they really did have the best interests at heart. People kicked off, and they got rid of it. EA wouldn't have dropped it for at least 2 months.
Microsoft wouldn't have dropped it ever.
Well, no, it's because Microsoft just go, no Windows for you. That's they don't care.
Yeah.
we'll disappear now. We've got enough money. Bye. It doesn't matter. God, imagine what would happen to the world of computing if Microsoft just one day said, we're shutting.
Just imagine that.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Microsoft just said, we're shutting down. Bye.
One day something like that will probably happen, but it probably won't be this year, though.
No, Sammy, no. What I mean is, imagine if out of the blue, Microsoft just shut down and stopped supporting and looking after anything. Not imagine one day if eventually Microsoft would eventually run out of steam, money, whatever, momentum, and then go, we're going to end up closing down at some point in the future. Not that situation. That situation's not shocking.
All I got to say is Linux.
Nah, it's overrated.
I don't really care for Linux myself, but, you know, push come to shove and Microsoft's not around, that's what I'm going to default to. Either that or learn how to install a Mac OS on my PC.
Nah, why would you do that?
I like Mac OS. It's pretty.
Yeah, but it won't work properly on a PC. You've been for this before.
Yeah,
Macs are designed to work with a specific type of infrastructure and framework. Specific hardware goes into their system and works in a specific way with each other.
But what is
great?
What,
that's why it's so balanced.
What is the stuff I've been hearing about bootstrapping and you know, using Intel architecture on the Macs and stuff?
Well, you can. It's always possible. But it's high level stuff to get it done.
Right.
But I don't see the point. I really. if Microsoft disappears anytime soon, there's going to be a major fucking meh if it ever happened. That was my point.
Mm-hmm.
If you really think about it, it's not a simple case of, I'll just go Linux. It's a simple case of, oh fuck, now what do we do? And then you go, well, I can go Linux, but I need some Linux support. I've been attacked by viruses because it hasn't been updated recently.
Would I get my Xbox Live money back? I wonder. Just thinking.
Company shuts down, you don't. Mm. It's in your terms and conditions, my friend.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, shit. Yeah. All right. So moving on from that topic, Bob, you had something you want to talk about regarding
Runic Games and Torchlight.
Yes.
Now, some of you out there may not be, I don't know, special. And you don't know what Torchlight is. Torchlight is one of the greatest games ever. It is very much in the same ilk as Diablo 2 and Diablo before it, which is essentially an action RPG. You have a character, you walk from one end of the map to the other, you kill things by clicking on them and doing special powers, which gives you more loot, which makes you more powerful, which makes you can kill bigger things. Rinse and repeat until your head actually explodes. It's fantastic fun. Wonderfully balanced, wonderfully colourful, wonderfully fun and silly. It's great. And they're going to make an MMO out of it.
In an already crowded MMO market.
Ah, yeah, but you see, this is the thing. The difference is, their MMO is going to be free.
In an already crowded free MMO market.
But it's going to be free and it's not going to be shit.
Ah, I've like, heard that promise before.
Yeah, but difference. Well, we've played Torchlight. Well, I have. Mm-hmm. You played Diablo 2.
Yes.
Just imagine that prettier. There you go, it's Torchlight. That's better than... Has anybody here actually ever played one of those free MMOs?
I have.
Like Shira or... I think it was called Master of Martial Arts or some other nonsense that came up saying, the only true martial arts free RPG on the internet. I doubt it.
Well,
I clicked on this Shira one before, Shitra, and I had friends who were obsessed over it.
Uh-huh.
And it's only free till you get to a certain level, I'd like to point out. Then it ceases to be free.
Of course.
But it's shit. It's utter shit. It reminds me of Ultima Online before it was made. So imagine Ultima Online when it was just an idea in Richard Garriott's mind.
Yeah.
Just an idea in his mind. That, and then someone managed to take the idea and just throw it into the internet. Don't polish it. Don't actually check things. Just throw it. Splat. So yeah, there you go. Crack on with that game.
See, that's been a problem with a lot of free-to-play MMOs. I think the only one that has really... a lot of the fans have still stuck with it is probably Guild Wars. I think that's, you know, probably...
Worm Online as well. Worm Online.
I mean, I tried Dungeons & Dragons Online, and I couldn't keep my attention very long, I'm afraid.
I actually paid for that game. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I actually played the free version of the Pirates of the Caribbean Online.
Uh-huh. How was that?
And it was fun till you got to a point and then like you would join like you'd have join our party type things and you'd join their party and says, we're having a clan meeting. So you'd show up to the clan meeting, everybody acting all stupid and stuff, and it just got to a point where, hey, I need help finding this stuff here. Somebody come help me. Really?
No,
can't be asked.
No, so you've just described most MMO communities. That's nothing.
Pretty much, yeah. That's yeah. See, yeah. The problem there is the people, not the game itself. Yeah. The problem exists
World
between keyboard and chair.
Yeah, to be fair to World of Warcraft, it doesn't have that problem. Because anybody who has that attitude tends to get frowned upon, shall we say.
Yeah.
There's a quiet word said to them. And the general rule of thumb, I mean, it happens a lot anyway. And it's only really stupid questions that really get slated.
See, do you think, though, that is a matter of the system being paid for and there being people paid to police it? Because we've had this talk about the difference between Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, where Xbox Live, you pay for a certain degree of service,
yes.
And PlayStation Network is basically the Wild West.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
So, are we saying that inherently the pay systems are better because they provide a better experience?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a bad experience I've had. Star Trek Online had lots of people who were dicks, but the community itself had lots of helpful people, and if you joined a fleet, which is their guild, you'd do quite well. That game's problems came from the developers not listening to users during the creation of the game, during the beta of the game, and during the release of the game. So now they're only just getting stuff that should really have been put in before it was released.
My problem with D&D Online was that when you got to the beginner's village, there is nothing structured in place to help players work together. The game is either assuming that you came into this with a friend who you can meet up with and play with, or it's assuming that you'll do the whole beginner's town by yourself, and then maybe later on they'll throw something together to teach you how to be friends with other people. But, you know, to me, if you're going to go onto a massively multiplayer game, there should be something intrinsic into the training of the game that teaches you how to, you know, how to approach other players. And, you know, it, there should be a protocol or an etiquette. You know, there should be like a thing where, how I would design it is like you'd find like four people who signed up at roughly the same time and deploy them all together and give them like your initial problem.
You've got a problem.
Uh-huh.
You got a problem with that. You need people to sign up at the same time.
Well,
This is a problem that's happened to Warhammer Age of Reckoning.
Uh-huh.
The early zones, well, until they did the release debate, but the early zones can be quite devoid of life.
Yeah.
And if you want to do one of the big missions that requires a party of, like, because you can join, you don't have to join it as a party, you can join as 50 random people stand around at the start of a mission.
Yeah.
And the mission is, kill these archers here, kill these fighters. And you basically, it's a build-up for, say, a fight of a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that on your own.
Right.
And if other people aren't online at the same time, and haven't joined up about the same time as you, you can't do those missions.
Which then that, you can't that, get that re- those missions. Basically requires to go for you to go and beg for help from people.
Yes, but that's yeah. Yeah, but the problem is, you can't because there's nobody in that zone.
Right.
The higher level, they've played it too long. Now, Age of Reckoning is drastically restructured how it does all that.
Mm-hmm.
Because of those problems that have been occurred. Because it expected itself to be a lot more popular than it was.
Yeah.
Which I think is a problem with a lot of companies. I mean, Aeon Online is still clinging by the edge of its teeth, but it's about to die.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, that thing was horrible.
Yeah, what was the other really what was the one that went under? I think it was like Sector 8 or something that went under.
No, that was actually a game.
I can't remember. There's a futuristic one that just went under just one day, just up and folded up.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And don't forget Matrix Online.
Yeah, that had a pretty decent run. I mean, not a fantastic one, but a decent run.
The problem with Matrix Online had was that, right, we're the rebels. Rebels.
Rebel.
We're the rebel people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the agent players would stand by the hard lines where the rebels would come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rebels would come in and be instantly taken out by a shitload of agents. And you can't have too many people come in because the game is based off of the films. So only one person could come in at a time.
And of course,
one person comes in, eight agents
killed.
Yep. It crippled the game. Because they didn't fix it for like 2 months.
And
I don't even know if they did fix it.
That's really a game design issue. That's not really a community issue. That is the game designers not having playtested their own creations.
The sense to have the hardline facilities a non-entry point for them.
Yeah. Or at least maybe some spawn invincibility when you first come out, you know?
Well, it's a problem with a PvP-only game.
Mm.
Problem with PvP, I hate them. Like co-op games. I like to play against the enemies. And that's why, like I was saying to you earlier, I really want us lot as a group to pick an MMO and start playing it. Because they can be fantastic fun with a group of people that want
to
play.
We have to find the right one, though. Something that all of us could get behind.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft runs on anyone's PC.
Yeah, but I'm just not into spending money on that when I'm still spending money on Xbox Live, you know?
Well, I see the point there.
Yeah.
That is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I'm thinking about getting Age of Reckoning because the HMV near me has got 60-day time cards for the price of 1 month.
If it's any good. I've honestly been eyeing some of those superhero ones, like City of Champions? Is that what it's called?
City of Heroes. City of Heroes,
yeah.
Which was sold by NCSoft so that they could make Star Trek Online. What an idiot. Cities of Heroes and Villains is getting a new one. Hang on 1 second. PC Gamer UK made a comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting a new game.
See, I'd like to play some of those. Those intrigue me into a very fine degree.
City of Heroes is good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
From my head is what I have of all of them. You meet too many dicks online. You just really want to play it. So here we go. City of Heroes going rogue basically is their way of saying, right, you can play either hero class or villain class.
Ooh.
You get the abilities of whichever one,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you use them to work from there and go... and then you can, as your story progresses, by doing missions, you end up going evil or good, or in the middle.
That's interesting.
Here we go, hang on, I've got an example of it in here. Here we go. First, Firewing realized that breaking a few rules will allow her to keep the streets safer, so she became a vigilante. Mm-hmm. But the slippery slope of vigilante justice leads her to selling stolen weapon schematics and freeing an imprisoned rogue, both downright villainous acts. After committing evil for quite some time, Firewing has a change of heart and spares the life of a villain who begs to be destroyed. She even goes one step further than just being a selfish rogue, protecting a vicious villain who's turning himself into the cops, completing her moral 360.
That's interesting.
And they're improving the graphics again. Now, Going Rogue is coming out later this year, around third quarter, fourth quarter time. Autumn-ish.
That is interesting, and it also kind of mirrors what's going on in modern comics right now, where the lines between hero and villain are oftentimes very much blurred.
See, but the thing is, they've stopped that now.
Well, now they have, yeah. But
Marvel, yeah. But it's good. It's going to be... I mean, I played City of Heroes,
mm-hmm.
and it's fun. The problem you've got is it's quite easy to accidentally get stuck in a powerful zone. Hmm. That's happened to me. I needed a guy to help me. However, which is quite a useful skill, if you're a high-level character and you've got Fly, and there's a low-level person who needs help, you can go up to him, and you can give him Fly for a short period of time.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's to help them join you on missions, but it's also to help them if they get stuck in problems.
Right.
Because at level, I think it was level 12, you get to pick a movement. Mm-hmm. So you can either jump really far, run really fast...
Okay.
Or you can fly. Most people go fly. But flying isn't the fastest mode of transport.
Mm.
Jumping's faster and still allows you to get to a lot of high places, and running is the fastest of them all.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a good game.
I find we honestly come back a lot to MMO games, even though not a lot of us on this podcast actually do play them. I mean, it is a big market, don't get me wrong, and that's why we talk about it, because a lot of people who listen to us are probably into them, but... I don't know. There's something very intriguing about the precept of multiplayer games, especially massively multiplayer games.
I like them. Every time I play them, I like them for a while. What happens is, all my friends don't play them.
Or they play them for a short time and they move on.
Well, no. In my case, they never play them. They've never played them at the same time as me anyway.
Mm.
Even your friends that promise to get the game when it comes out,
mm-hmm.
and then don't. Kevin Cadell, who I know is not listening to this podcast, one of my best mates,
uh-huh.
he said, yeah, I'm definitely at Star Trek Online. It's awesome. It'll be fun. We can do missions together. And it's not. So you end up doing missions with people you've met online.
Uh-huh.
But then you've got that friendship. Because I've already got three groups of friends.
Uh-huh.
I don't need another fourth group on an MMO. I don't have time for that, if you know uh-huh. what I mean. And you need to be social. You need to have friends in those games for them to get the full effect of them.
Exactly.
That's why I would rather play with you guys, because then we can all play the game. And that's one group of friends. Or at least a lot of us can. So it's one. I don't have multiple groups of friends. Because I've got workmates. I've got mates around my area. Then I've got all you guys who are online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too... keeping all that balanced hard enough. I don't need a fourth group online. Jesus.
Sammy, you were going to say something?
I was going to say that because with online MMOs, you need a lot of free time with all to complete a certain level as well. Because bearing in mind, those sorts of games, and this is the reason I don't play them, those sorts of games just take up way too much free time of the day.
Well, I think this is true of any online game, is that you're playing around the time of other people as well as your own.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, if I go online to play even something like Street Fighter and I go onto an online match, I better be sure that I'm not going to get interrupted, because I can't just say, you know, I'm going to pause the game if something comes up.
Mm.
That's the same with any game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. With single player games, or with games in which, you know, you're playing a preset limit or something like that, you can put it down any time. But once somebody else's time is involved, you kind of have to play around that as well.
I meant any multiplayer game.
Well, yeah.
That's my fault. But no, I mean, it's. I mean, there's a guy at one of my clubs I go to, mm-hmm. to take up all of my free time. He sometimes has to leave early to get back to do a raid online.
Jeez.
On World of Warcraft. But then that's him. He plays the game properly. I mean, he's got like... I think he's got like 3 level 80 characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then he builds up a new one every now and again.
Cool.
I mean, my problem with World of Warcraft is the one class I want to play as, which is Blackguard or Black Knight, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you can't play as until you've got a level 50 character.
Huh.
The only problem I have, though, with World of Warcraft, and don't get me wrong, it's still a good game which has a huge cult following. I just get the feeling that that game, being an MMO, is the most played out of all the other online playing games, really. And that's kind of the reason why I stay out of that one particularly as well.
You stay out of it because it's popular?
Well, not just because it's popular, mainly because it's just that too many people out of any people that play an online MMO, they just play Warcraft much more than any other game.
I think I see what Sammy's saying. I think I see what Sammy's saying. Sammy's saying that Warcraft players tend to not play much else. Yeah, there's no variety there. Yeah, and I understand that completely.
But that's the problem. But to be fair, that only becomes an issue when you are doing PvP stuff.
But it's like, you know, if I just hung out with Street Fighter players all the time, I would get bored. I mean, even though it's a game that I love, I still want to play other things. There are guys who just main that.
This is why I want to play it with friends outside of that game.
Exactly.
This is going back to my original point of why I get bored of them. Mm-hmm. I can't, like me and you, we could play it for a month and then go, you know what, shall we give it a leave it for a couple months. Cool, we'll do
that. And then when we're ready, we just pick it back up again when we're both mutually in the mood to do it. I agree.
Exactly. Totally. You know what I mean? That would work wonderfully.
Yeah, so we do see what Sammy's saying there, yeah.
Yeah, I do now, so I didn't understand what you meant at the time. Yeah, Sorry, Sammy. That's my fault, don't worry. It's me being...
Anyway, we've been dwelling on this topic for a while, and
I've gone off topic. Massively off topic.
We tend to do that when we start talking about massively multiplayer games. It's a fascinating topic.
That's because we don't play them enough. That's the problem, I think. I think if we played them, we did. Anyway, what was said in Torchlight's MMO?
Mm-hmm.
Is it one of the things they talk about was when they look at what the modern community do with Torchlight?
Uh-huh.
And they call them inventive, and it's been useful to look at what people think are the most important things to change in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The class mod stuff is the most fun, seeing people take the skills apart and put them back in new ways. Mm-hmm. Somebody made the steampunk robot class that fires missiles and had a machine gun. A lot of people also don't like item identification. If we keep it, we're going to make it less onerous. Some of the things we're talking about are making identification automatic for items that are lower than your level, or a passive lore skill that you could automatically identify stuff for you within a certain range of levels. So basically what they're saying is, we're listening to what the fans don't like about the game, and we're going to improve it for the MMO.
Cool.
They also make a point about... the guy says, he's talking about how they're going to make money from the system. So I will never, ever... buy a microtransaction item. I am that kind of player, and the game has to be. Enjoyable for me too. We don't want our monetization stuff to offer ways to skip the game because the game is boring. We don't want you to feel like an enormous grind, or that you want to get past it a bit because it sucks. It should be fun to play, and you should want to do it. What you should be paying for is variants. Additions that make it more enjoyable. Mounts are a great example. Everybody should be able to get a mount, which you should be able to buy a super special mount that either looks cool or travels slightly faster or gives you a secondary benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're trying to say is that they don't want it to be that you have to pay to get through parts of the game. They're going to make the game as they want to make it, as they would play it. But you can make it more fun if you're lucky. If you've got the money, because you can buy the new item. I quite like that system. It's kind of what they did with Battlefield Heroes on the PC. Anyone remember Battlefield Heroes?
I remember Battlefield Heroes. It was like web-based a kidified version of Battlefield 1942.
Yeah. Now, the idea of that was it was free to play and you downloaded stuff. Problem with that game was they overpriced everything, and it was stupid little things were really expensive. Things that should have been there for a bit of fun. Mm-hmm. The most expensive stuff. And there's a time limit on everything in that game. You pay like £3, you only have it for so many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or days. I can't remember what the system was.
Yeah, I don't like that.
As soon as I saw that, I went, I'm not playing this game anymore, even for free.
Yeah. Alright, speaking of playing games, let's move on to a different topic. Because I want to actually spend a lot of time this week talking about what we've all been playing this week, because I've got a lot of things to go through. So let's start with Sammy, since you're not here every week. Sammy, what have you been playing this week?
What have I been playing? Well, to be honest, I haven't really been playing a whole lot, but I've been playing just for nostalgic purposes. I've just been playing Psychic Force for the PS1. Really, really good game.
Oh, and by the way, Sammy, as you mentioned that, thank you for the suggestion for our intro music. Our intro music is actually suggested by Sammy. Whose theme was that, Sammy, from Psychic Force?
Sonya's.
Right, so that is going to be, for now, our intro theme music. Sammy suggested it. I liked it a lot. That's going to stay there for now. So Psychic Force, what else have you been playing?
I've also been playing Robotech Battlefront. It's a really, really good game as well. Cause
oh, I remember that one. That's on the PS1, right?
No, Robotech Battlefront is actually for the PS2.
PS2. I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of two only Robotech games available, and it's kind of a bit disappointing, really, because I'm a huge Robotech fan, and I've enjoyed both Battlecry and the other game, Robotech Invasion, but I just kind of feel that, yeah, we do really need more Robotech games.
I forgot about the one on the Xbox.
Yeah, there is one on the Xbox now. I can't play Robotech games because I keep playing and I keep going, hey, look, it's Jetfire! Hey, look, it's Jetfire! Hey, look, it's Jetfire! Sorry.
Transformers reference for everybody there.
Yeah, yes. Not everybody will get that joke.
And if you didn't get it, you suck.
If you didn't get it, you need to go listen to Back to the 80s and Moonbase 2 and all those other great podcasts you need to go listen to.
Yeah.
And then or you will understand.
Or just go to tfwiki.net.
Oh, yeah, love TFWiki. Yeah, so what else, Sammy? What else have you been playing? Heart of Darkness. Did you mention Heart of Darkness yet?
Oh, yes, Heart of Darkness. That's a game that I recommended to you a little while ago. Well, Heart of Darkness, okay, don't get me wrong. It's a really good game, and it tells a really good story, and the gameplay itself is... It's basically like a side-scroller, and the only problem that I have with this game is... A, you die too many times in that game, and B, there's no health bar or anything else. So, pretty much... That game is best known for being very difficult, and just the story itself is quite short. It's a good story, but it's the kind of game that you can complete in about a month. But for me, since I had that game since I was 11, and I haven't touched it ever since, and now that I'm 21, I am now continuing to play it, and I'm near the end, but I just keep dying. That's the only problem.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you finish this before? Have you finished this before?
No, okay. What I meant was I played the game when I was younger, mm-hmm. and then left it for several years, and when I was rummaging through my PS1 collection, I noticed, hey, I've still got the game. I haven't traded it in. So I went in, and before you know it, I was able to complete some of the levels that I never even got past, because when I first heard of Heart of Darkness, I was playing the demo on the PC, mm-hmm. and now I'm just near the end. I just got to try and get past all the other enemies, and then I can finally game down.
And if anybody out there listening hasn't seen this game, look up the trailer for Heart of Darkness on YouTube. It has what I think is one of the best done video game trailers for any video game ever.
Yes, and of course, bearing in mind, that game also has a really good soundtrack, and bearing in mind, that game is probably the first in the PlayStation 1 category to ever have a completely orchestrated soundtrack, mm-hmm. and that's what makes the game so unique.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Jamie, what have you been playing this week?
His penis.
I've been playing some Mario World.
Oh, cool.
I've played a bit of MC Kids, bearing in mind that I reviewed it last week. As I reviewed it, I might as well complete the damn thing.
Right.
I played a bit of Ghostbusters, and I played a little bit online with War for Cybertron.
I actually did see Moon has picked up Ghostbusters as well. He was pretty much enjoying that all last night. He was playing that. I think he's about done with the game actually.
Yeah, well, it's very small.
He was playing the game, and the one line we kept hearing from him was, "Where's the black guy?"
Okay. Yeah, that would be my...
Just don't mention the other things he said.
Yeah, please, let's not.
That's our moon.
That's our moon. Is that it, Jamie? Is that what you've been playing?
Boy, I missed it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've played.
Alright.
I missed today's of him going motherfucking crabs.
Sean, what have you been playing this week?
I actually haven't been playing anything.
Awesome.
I've been busy doing other things.
Men.
No. doing illegal something.
Things, are we?
No. Go. Y'all know what I've been doing.
Let's not get into the personal details of that. We'll talk about that after the show.
Well, his speciality is for everyone to know.
Okay.
Hey, you sleep with one chick in a Bugs Bunny costume, and you get labeled for life.
No, it's the chicken you slept with that was the problem.
Well, when Sean says he was going to do dinner, he said he was going to do dinner.
Hey, buddum.
There's one way to stuff. There's another way to stuff a turkey.
Okay. Anyway, I've been playing lots of stuff this week, particularly this weekend. I actually picked up a Wii for the first time. And
we don't care if you pick up a cup of your own piss.
She's got you there.
And I've been playing on it. I picked up New Super Mario Bros. Wii and Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, particularly because I saw Tatsunoko vs. Capcom being played at Evo, and I was kind of intrigued by what the gameplay mechanics I saw there. Picked both of those up. I find Tatsunoko vs. Capcom is really addictive. The combo system is really nice, even though it's been pared down to only 3 buttons. It really, really works. It works well. It's addictive, playable, and you can pick up any character and master that character in a matter of minutes, yet still have room to improve on those things. I find the game really nice, and if this is how Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is going to play, I say bring it on. I'm ready for it.
Wait. When you were playing it, tell them how the air combo for Beatable Joe is.
Joe is. Okay, no. Joe needs to be banned from tournament play. Joe's air combo is... Okay, there's 3 buttons in the game. It's light, medium, hard. Okay? Here is Joe's air combo. You send somebody up in the air and you press... Light attack, 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 light attack. I know it's hard to memorize, but, you know. Jesus Christ. 1 button air combos. Joe should be banned. Jesus Christ. That being said, though, I really enjoy the game. There's a lot of great unlockables, great music, great gameplay. New Super Mario Bros. Wii, I am on the ice level already. I've only been playing it in short bursts, but... you know my thing with Super Mario Bros. I find all those games rather easy, so I'm really breezing through this right now. I enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but it's like breathing to me. It's like I can just look at a level and beat it, you know? Not that I'm bragging.
Does it make you feel like a man?
It does. I'm hard.
Well, take a cold shower then.
What else have I been... I picked up Singularity for the PC as well, and that... I want to spend some time talking about that, because that game is actually rather intriguing. Now, here's the thing about Singularity. All bullshit aside, Singularity's story is kind of weak and kind of hokey. It has to do with an island off of... an island somewhere... I believe it's in the Bering Strait, where some experiments were conducted with this thing called Element 99. Element 99 can control time, and because of that, the island now exists in 2 states. It exists in the 1950s and exists in 2010. And the island is in a state of flux between the two, and you are given a glove that can control time and send you back and forth between the periods, and you can, you know, make items, you know, degrade or go back to their regular state. Interesting gameplay mechanic, and it works well for the game. Storyline, little hokey, the voice actors are kind of meh, but... the gameplay is honestly growing on me. The puzzles that involve time travel are really good. I've always liked time travel puzzles. That's not a problem. And the gunplay in the game is a little easy but addictive because the weapons respond so, so well. They're well modeled. The gameplay moves at a nice pace. I fought a boss this morning that really did test... It was like playing an old NES game where the characters had, like, you know, the bosses had patterns, and it was just to see how quickly you could pick up on what the pattern was. And I love that. That was challenging. I mean, even though using the guns is easy, the tactics that you have to employ make the game challenging. And I'm really digging that. And I think the game is worth checking out. I don't think it's a day one purchase necessarily. But if you've run out of good shooters to play and you need something to fill that void, I say without a doubt, without hesitation, pick up Singularity. I'm surprised I didn't hear about this game coming out beforehand. But
Activision.
Activision, again, not really promoting...
I was the one who told you about it, remember?
You were, and because I looked it up, I started, like, seeing videos of it, and I got intrigued, and I picked it up, and I'm glad I did. It really is, I think, probably going to be a sleeper hit for this year. I really honestly think so. That being said, though, I don't know. I really highly recommend this game. I would like people who... Here's the thing. There's two games that it's really reminiscent of. One is BioShock, because it has that same thing where people contact you by radio, and there's the radio radio messages that are left around, which I honestly don't like as a storytelling device, but I'm just pointing out that that's what reminds me of BioShock. It also reminds me of Half-Life 2, because there's a lot of great scripted events, and honestly, there is a sidekick character who dresses just like Alex Vance from Half-Life. That's bordering on ripoff territory, but I'm willing to let it slide because the game's so good. But that being said, to be called something like the love child between BioShock and Half-Life, that ain't bad. It's derivative for sure, but it is a lot of fun. So cool. Yeah, Singularity. I'm liking it. Any okay. So we've talked about what we played this week. Anybody looking forward to
it? No, we haven't.
Who didn't ask Bob? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, sorry. Bob's been talking the whole podcast. I kind of missed Bob. Bob, what have you been playing this week?
Fuck you. I have been playing War for Cybertron.
Uh-huh.
Played a little bit more of that on multiplayer. Got bored of it. Been playing Magic the Gathering, playing Jewels of the Planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
I know you picked this up a little while ago.
Yeah.
Playing that. That's good. It's very... It is exactly like playing a game of Magic, except all the decks are very specific.
Yeah, they're pretty.
You cannot make. It doesn't have anywhere near the library of cards in Magic.
See, and that's so that's what I like.
It can be a struggle for someone like me, though.
Yeah, no. You see, that's why I like some of the old Yu-Gi-Oh games, because their library of cards was very flexible, and you could always you could make like multiple decks in some of the later ones.
Yeah, but. That was that. The other thing I've been playing is Lego Harry Potter.
Why
that's
Bob?
Okay.
Why?
The Lego game's fun. Also been playing Lego Batman again, because I got that for the PC cheap. That's mm-hmm. a bit of fun. And I've also tried playing Sonic Unleashed again.
That didn't go very well for you. I'm sorry.
So I've been back to playing Borderlands, which mm-hmm. is still fun. Mm-hmm. It is the ultimate pick up and play game.
I will second that.
You pick it up, you remember everything that you were doing, mm-hmm. and that's it. You walk straight back into it. There's none of this, what was the buttons, what am I supposed to do? So it's like, yeah, bang, 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 do the missions. Easy to find, easy to follow. Really enjoy that game.
And, I mean, there's a ton of DLC out for it, so even if you do finish it, you're still behind, you know?
That's the thing. As soon as I start getting near max level, I'm going to download all the DLC
mm-hmm.
so that I can get even higher.
Excellent.
That's about it. That's what I've been doing this week.
Great. Is there anything anybody's looking forward to in the coming months? Because we still got
Halo
some time
Reach.
To kill. Halo Reach, yeah.
That's it. That is actually it. I was looking at what's coming out, and there's nothing coming out, which is why recently I bought loads of old games. There's nothing new coming out
mm-hmm.
that I really want, that I want to spend new money on. I don't want to play Splinter Cell Conviction, because it's shit.
I was thinking about picking it up, but I mean, and it still looks very good, but I question whether it'll be able to hold my attention the way Singularity has. I doubt it will be.
You're questioning it will be able to be a fucking good stealth game?
No, I played the demo. I like the demo. I like the demo a lot.
Pathetic. The demo was like, it's a stealth game, but if you want to play a stealth game that's even more arcadey than Metal Gear Solid, here you go.
See, no, that's it. That's what I want to play.
Now, you see, you've got your Mega Solid for your arcadey stealth.
Yeah.
And then you've got your Splinter Cell for your realistic stealth, which is what you want.
Yeah.
And Double Agent was a very good game.
Mm-hmm.
The ice level was fantastic. It's...
Bob, speaking of demos, we almost forgot something. Crackdown 2, Bob! Crackdown 2! Isn't that a fantastic little demo? Isn't that fantastic?
It is a fantastic demo because it points out to you why you shouldn't play the fucking game.
Oh, Jesus. That is like, it looks like PS2 level graphics. Where did they go wrong?
They made it, well, for anyone who hasn't downloaded it, don't, because it's a waste of your bandwidth.
Yeah.
It is. It is, sorry about that. It is worse looking than the first game. Mm-hmm. More annoying than the first game, because in the first game you had to chase the green orbs to increase your jumping capability,
mm-hmm.
which is another problem I have with this game, is the bloody orb nonsense. Anyway, you collect the green orbs to get better at jumping so that you can get more green orbs to get better at jumping, which isn't terrible, but it gets boring.
Have you heard, Bob? They've introduced a new type of orb in the full game that runs away from you when you try to collect it.
No. It's in the demo. This is what I was coming to. It's in the demo.
Yeah.
This is what I was coming to. So not only do you have to jump up to get the orbs, when you get to them, they run away from you, and you've got to chase them around the level, and they just go in a circle. But you have to get close to them, and as you get close to them, they start moving again.
That is fucking stupid.
That sounds... That whole chasing orbs thing sounds a little bit repetitive.
You know what it is? No. You know what it is, Sammy? It's like chasing the rat in Metal Gear Solid. It's put there to artificially lengthen gameplay.
But it's worse than chasing the rat.
At least chasing the rat
was stupid. You can catch the rat. No, but the thing is, though, if you're quick, you can catch the rat. The orb is designed to only start moving when you get close to it, and then it moves faster than you could run until you increase your speed level.
Yeah.
And also, can I point out, while we're talking about the city layout, isn't it the exact same city from Crackdown 1?
It is exactly the same city as Crackdown 1. So they haven't even, but with new exploded buildings and zombie crap over them.
Oh, right, because every game needs zombies.
When it turns to nighttime, you get the cast from Prototype come out, and you get to kill them for a little bit.
From the sounds of it, this game doesn't sound like it's being very creative.
It just
sounds like it's ripping on other games, really.
Crackdown only sold because it had the beta for Halo 3 in it.
Yeah.
No.
Because I played Crackdown. I completed Crackdown, and it was a chore.
I didn't like it either. But there's a faction of people out there who genuinely enjoyed Crackdown.
Fuckwits.
Friends of mine. What can I say? Who loaned me their copy, so I never actually had to buy my own. Played that for about a week and just kind of gave up on it. Because it's basically, to me, it was just like Grand Theft Auto with superpowers. And I don't really like Grand Theft Auto.
But that's the thing. It's like Grand Theft Auto with superpowers and no progression of story.
No, there is no progression. You are essentially a mute character who never develops. You are the same at the beginning of the game as you are at the end. Character-wise, anyway.
Yeah, and the guy... The only bit you have about your character is the voiceover guy who's apparently the head of the agency or whatever nonsense it is. And he comes and goes, your abilities have improved. You're now able to jump faster and blah, 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 blah.
When the narration is considered a character, I put the game down.
Now, don't forget, in the demo, they've increased how quickly you increase your stats. So but they don't tell you that. They don't tell you that in the demo. They don't tell you in the demo that when you play this game, it increases your abilities. It increases how quickly you gain abilities.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't tell you that.
Nope.
So people are going to play the demo and go, God, you level up really fast to get really good quickly. I'm going to pick this up. It's fun. And then play it and then go, why is it taking me so long to do fucking anything?
And as we're talking about like downloadable demos and stuff, I just want to point out Blacklight Tango Down came out this week. Downloaded the demo and tried it. It's Modern Warfare 2. There's nothing after that sentence. It's just Modern Warfare 2.
Cool.
It literally is. There is a level in that is nearly identical to High Rise from Modern Warfare 2. There is no reason to pick that up unless you truly are a sad and pathetic individual who only plays shooting games and you need a fix or your fingers are going to fall off. Then, by all means, go ahead and pick it up. Otherwise, don't bother.
One more thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, first thing, Microsoft and Xbox, stop sending me fucking emails about Crackdown 2. I'm deadly serious.
Oh,
secondly,
God.
Mega Man 10 is half price right now on Xbox Live Arcade.
Worth the price. Definitely
I'm
worth
thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about
it. If anybody out there is a retro fan, if you love retro-style graphics, if you love retro-style gameplay, and you love a challenge, you gotta pick that shit up.
Yeah, for me, I probably won't play it completely because I'll get fed up with it. If I can't do Sonic Unleashed, I can't do Mega Man 10.
You see, my problem is if I pick it up, I'm going to be glued to that TV all day.
That's why you need to buy Torchlight.
I don't want to play Torchlight.
I might buy it and gift it to you.
Oh, no. Bob, you will never see me again. You will just... Oh, God. Because... Whoa. Yeah, there's Jamie again.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for your
thanks for that.
Cheers, Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie, thank you.
Yeah, no, I had a problem with Diablo 2. Hi, folks. I'm Toya. I'm a Diablo-holic. I could not put Diablo 2 down, and I'm pretty sure I won't be able to put... What I find interesting, though, is that isn't Torchlight supposed to be, like, more colorful than Diablo? And didn't, when they announced Diablo 3, like, a whole faction of fans just up and said, it's too colorful, it's not dark like Diablo.
Yeah. Basically, those people are called bitches.
Yeah.
So nobody cares what they think. Diablo 3 looks fine, but it's going to have to be something special to make me pay 30 quid for that when I pay like a fiver for Torchlight in a sale.
I don't know,
even Blizzard 15 puts, quid for Torchlight.
If Blizzard puts the kind of care into that as what I've seen from the StarCraft 2 demo, I may actually have to pick up Diablo 3 as well.
You see, this is the other thing. I'm not going to pick up StarCraft 2.
Oh, I am. I definitely am.
Because I can't be arsed with real-time strategies anymore.
They've ceased
to be fun for me.
I can't be arsed with real-time strategies myself, but this is StarCraft. This is the Mac Daddy of strategy.
I am the only person on the planet who played StarCraft 1 when it came out. And went, yeah, that's right.
Oh, honestly,
I still don't, to this day, see why it's so special.
I love it. I absolutely do. I don't know whether it's the aesthetics or is it the characters or is it the gameplay. I think it's a combination of all of those. I absolutely love StarCraft. I'm nuts for it.
I was speaking about watching another podcast. I was listening to another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how they went to this... every year he had to go to this crappy like fate thing with his mm-hmm. brother. And when he went there, they had StarCraft for sale on the thing. And it was like all his money. Like some of his dad's money to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went mad on it and he played it as soon as it came out. I was like, yeah, cool story. But still meh.
There's no pleasing you, is there, Bob?
No, I don't... The last real-time strategy game, I truly, truly enjoyed Red Alert 2 and before that, Total Annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Supreme Commander didn't do it for me. I was tempted to pick up Supreme Commander 2 for a tenner. I just know I won't play it.
Yeah, I wasn't
a
fan of it.
I don't have the patience for them anymore. I don't have the patience for it. It's
the last two real-time strategy games I've played, StarCraft 2 Beta and Halo Wars. That's pretty much about it.
Also, I haven't bought Command & Conquer 4.
I don't hear great things about Command & Conquer 4.
I know, but the thing is, I have every other Command & Conquer game ever, as soon as they came out, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Except
you want to try and get all of them. Basically.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to wait till it comes down in price because they've ruined it.
You're going to do the Sammy thing because Sammy... So we were talking about Tekken one day and then I hear Sammy goes out and buys like Tekken 1 through 5, was it?
Yeah, it was 1 through 5.
Well, no, because I'm not going to go out and buy Command & Conquer 4 because I'm going to wait till it's really cheap.
Is that on Steam, by the way?
Ruined it. Possibly. I don't care.
Dude, if it's on Steam, just wait till Christmas. It'll be $1.
I doubt it. They may have to change it to, look, we'll give you $5. We'll give you another game for free if you download Command & Conquer 4.
I could see doing that. I could probably see that.
It's honestly...
No, I mean, I could see them offering...
I'll be honest with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played Command & Conquer 4, but everything I've read about it is an abortion to what Command & Conquer is.
Mm-hmm.
Upsets me great.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been hearing as well, so I don't know.
If it's the last hurrah, honestly, they say, oh, this is the last game I'm going to make. Why change the formula for the last game?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Because, no...
You do that for the second or third when you've got one more in mind.
Or they're changing it in the hopes that they'll be able to create a spin-off series.
No, they won't, though. That's the thing.
Because
nobody will care for... The only reason Command & Conquer still sells is Red Alert for the mad, bloody, mad creatures, vehicles, units, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
People play Red Alert games for madness. The only reason normal Command & Conquer games sold was because of Kane. Kane is now terminated.
Hang on. Let me ask you something about the guy who plays Kane. Does he ever age? Because he looks the friggin' same.
I know. I think he was like a producer or something as well.
Jesus.
When he first got cast.
He has not aged a day.
I know, it's freakish. Jesus. He's put on a little weight, but Jesus, considering how it's like 20 years,
well,
Jesus.
Compared to some of the other actors, I mean, shit.
It was quite funny listening to Into Tiberian Sun, Michael Bean's in it, and James Earl Jones, and they look haggard and worse. And Kane's there going, hi, I'm young, I'm free, I'm beautiful, look at me, I'm awesome.
Wasn't Billy D. Williams in one of those?
He is in Tiberian's Command & Conquer 3.
There should be like a cheat code to just change his name, like in all internal dialogue, to Lando Calrissian.
But Michael Ironside's in Command & Conquer 3 as well. He's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Sam Fisher.
Yeah,
Sam Fisher
gives
sufficient briefing. But he's awesome, Michael Ironside. I think he's... Yeah, but I digress. My point is, mm-hmm. why change the system for the last game in the series? Yeah. And if they use that system for Command & Conquer for Red Alert 4, nobody will buy Red Alert 4.
Mm.
Honestly, Red Alert, Command & Conquer 4 bombed more than Supreme Commander 2, which bombed massively because nobody could be arsed. When you look at the back of the box, they just see these huge maps and everything, and everyone's like, Jesus, I don't want to touch that. It looks far too confusing. Walks away.
But that's the problem with most. You see, this is the problem. This is why Nintendo came up with the casual gaming thing that to appeal to that market, is because a lot of games, a lot of genres have become oversaturated with overcomplications. I can't tell you. I still can't get people to play Street Fighter or fighting games because they think, oh, it's too complicated. I'll never be able to learn the moves. Same reason I can't get people to play real time strategy games because they go, oh, well, that's too complicated for me. I can never learn what all the units do.
So too complicated for me. It's fine for me. I just don't have the patience.
Yeah, but we're talking about gamers at large, you know.
Oh yeah, but I think that's more Supreme Commander's issue because a lot of them others they don't bother. The problem is that you spend 30 minutes getting stuff ready to do the mission.
Mm.
That's what I can't be doing with. I don't have time to sit around for 30 minutes prepping everything.
I agree with that.
Turn off the system, and that's why I don't play them anymore. Yeah. I used to play them constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, constantly was playing them. I think I played Red Alert solidly. I mean, solidly for like 2 months of my life. Like, that was the only thing I played, and I played it for like 4 or 5 hours a day.
Okay.
And now I just can't look at it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've been going on pretty long right now. I think we should draw this episode to a close. So, with me at this very rambly edition, we have been... let's introduce each other. Well, I've been Toya. We have also had with us Sammy.
Hey there, folks.
We've had Sean.
Get you on the flip side.
We've had Bob.
Hello.
And we've had Jamie.
Fuck you, Sean.
I would like to add something to this.
Yes.
I 100% agree with Jamie.
About? Oh, right, yeah. So, yes, fuck folks. Sean. This has been episode 17 of the Dude Wait What podcast. We will catch you guys next week. See you later.